Friday. I know, you may think I haven't earned it. I've only been on the air 3 nights. This is night number 3 since I returned from vacation. But for those of you who've ever worked overnight or oppo schedules, you know it can hit you like a semi-truck when you come off of a vacation. Not complaining. I'm just telling you, I'm happy it's almost Friday as well. Both the Hubs and I, we were saying happy almost Friday on Thursday afternoon. But at least I slept well, which is good. And there's a lot on our plates tonight. I've got stuff to say. I think the Denver Nuggets should be ashamed of themselves. You deserve to be humiliated. But also, when it comes to the Indiana Fever, if I'm head coach Christy Sides, I tell my locker room, if you rebound, you stay on the court. Period. You want more playing time? Rebound. That's all you got to do, and you'll stay on the court. That's how I'm determining my starting five moving forward. And actually, their next game is against the Liberty. A bit of a home and home. Atrocious rebounding by the team that drew more than 17,000 fans to see Caitlin Clark's home debut in the place formerly known as Conseco Fieldhouse. Same place the Pacers will host the Knicks on Friday. This is an NBA arena. Last year, 7,000 fans on average. Worst in the league. One of the worst in the league. So 10,000 tickets sold for their home opener. And at least 10,000 times where I yelled at the TV, rebound! Okay, I didn't yell, but I did mutter to myself crossly. So yeah, the rebounding effort, atrocious. The Nuggets, embarrassing. I'm actually a little bit ticked off at the Nuggets for making me look like a fool. After doing an interview with Vinny Benedetto live here on the show following game 5, when Denver seemingly seized control of this Western Conference semifinal series, we touted them. Nikola Jokic, unmatched. 3 straight games in which he had his way. Rudy Gobert, not able to provide much resistance. Anthony Edwards getting corralled. Nuggets firmly in control and confident. But man, after a bit of a hot start, I mean, it was a brief flicker, a brief flicker of a flame, they got railroaded. And I'm a little embarrassed that I did an interview and talked about going from down 0-2 against the Wolves to up 3-2 and how it looked like they were well on their way to the Western Conference Finals. 70 points. That's all they could manage. 70 points.
Soft.
No doubt. Mike Malone had plenty to say. And I get it. Later in the game when you're already down by 30 and then it's 40, well, okay, you're not offering much resistance. But I swear there were times when Anthony Edwards was driving to the hoop that it looked like the NBA All-Star game. The Nuggets just moving out of the way. Get this. A pair of runs by the Wolves. 20 straight points, and then later in the game, 24 straight points. You might as well just sit all your Nuggets on their asses on the bench and just let the Wolves go out there and run routes on air. I did not watch past the third quarter because it was hard to stomach. I can imagine Nuggets fans feel the same. I hope the Nuggets themselves feel the same. So that's the playoffs for the NBA. In the NHL, really impressive rally by the Rangers, though. We've seen this before from the President's Trophy winners. Not only did they have the best record in the NHL this season, thus the President's Trophy, but they did it by virtue of 30 comebacks during the regular season. They were down two goals against Carolina. The Canes were seemingly in control. Clearly, their control was as much a house of cards as the Denver Nuggets. When the Rangers, they got loose. Chris Kreider, he's not the only one, but Kreider just making himself available in front of the net was really impressive. The pressure that they put on the Canes around the net. Guys just hanging out, being available. I'm here. I'm open. You got me. Well, we know Chris Kreider makes a living at times. You know, works on it. Trying to redirect pucks. Kind of snap them out of the air. If they're on the ice, give them a tap. Redirect into the back of the net. He's Johnny on the spot. Well, he can be. And he was in this game. But still stunning to watch them rally from two down to then two up in the third period, in which Kreider has a hat trick in under 10 minutes. They call that a natural hat trick because the other kinds, they're unnatural.
Last game we were at, we saw a natural hat trick.
We did in the first period, not the third period of a playoff game. So we now have our second member of the Final Four, Hoops and Hockey, putting them together for this reason. Both in the East. Celtics moved on. Now the Rangers move on and are awaiting either the Panthers or the Bruins. By the way, Jay, did you see the video? Because they sold out at Madison Square Garden as a watch party, and there were fans outside MSG chanting, "We want the Bruins, we want the Bruins."
Saw that.
All right, just be careful. Be careful what you wish for. Speaking of the Bruins, did you see the comment for Brad Marchand about how the playoffs are, in essence, all about inflicting injuries? Okay, maybe not all about, but they're about inflicting injuries. We'll get to some hockey, some playoff hoops. Anthony Edwards. If this was baseball, his uniform would always be dirty. He's constantly hitting his head on the rim, dislocating a finger on the rim.
I ain't never jumped that high in my life.
Falling on his back. I was a little bit worried about his tailbone there for a second. Yikes. Just trust me, you do not want a bruised tailbone. Most pain I've ever had in my life. In addition, first round of the PGA Championship is in the books. A major start for Xander Schauffele. Tiger Woods was there. He was minus one right in the mix and then fizzled at the end, the last couple holes. Finished at plus one. Rory McIlroy in the mix as well. So it was a course that, because of a bunch of rain, ended up playing softer and a little easier, meaning not a lot of bump and run. You can stick the ball where you aim, if that makes sense. If the ground is soft, it's not going to bounce hard off the fairway and go awry. Or if you are attempting to attack the pin, so you're going right at the pin on your approach shot. Well, if the ground is soft, again, you can be aggressive because the ball is less likely to bounce away, especially if you're talking about undulating greens. I know. Can you tell I miss golf? As one of my birthday presents, the Hubs gave me a gift card to go play golf. I think because he's tired of hearing me talk about how long it's been since I played golf. He doesn't want me to sacrifice golf for him or for our relationship. Just like I wouldn't want him to sacrifice hunting and fishing. So I keep encouraging him. He got his fishing license. Go fishing. And actually, in my town, there's a pond that they stock with trout. Now, funny enough, from Texas, he's never actually fished for trout before. And he's figured out he needs different bait. But he'll figure it out. I can't wait to eat fresh trout. So, yes, I miss golf. I don't know if the PGA Championship has enough clout, has enough interest to get golf fans to show a little staying power. If the Masters couldn't do it, I'm not sure the PGA can do it. It all depends on there's a good finish. If people even know there's a good finish on Sunday, does Tiger Woods make the cut? I mean, right now he's in a good position. But it's still the same issue with Tiger now. It's about stamina. It's about whether or not he can maintain a high level of play and battle through aches and pains and aches and pains to finish strong. Jared Goff talking about his enormous contract extension. And in addition, Mike North, who I didn't know his title before Thursday, well, before Wednesday, the NFL VP of broadcast planning. And maybe it's just me, I'm a total nerd when it comes to a lot of things, including Star Wars. But he explained some of the nuances of putting together not just the schedule, right? So they have computers that narrow down the schedule, but choosing those games that will go on national TV or which games will go to which networks. So a little bit of football mixed in. Yes, you'll hear from the head coach of the Fever, not Caitlin Clark, though. She didn't speak post-game. First time in a long time. Very rare game by Clark in which she doesn't hit double figures. She was seeing double teams in the first quarter. You know what's interesting, too? Talk about timing. Timing is everything. As I was mulling over some of your answers from social media to last night's show question, we were going over the number of NFL games and packages that are now on streaming, right? So this steady migration to various streaming services, and you all continue to answer the question, will you subscribe to more streaming services all day Thursday? I saw your answers when I woke up in the afternoon. Lots of answers on both Twitter and Facebook. I would say it's about 75% who say no. There are a bunch of you who are so relieved you already have Netflix. Drew from Rochester, I told my husband, he's offered us his password. Thank you, Drew. So yeah, a lot of you are pretty thankful that you already have Netflix and Prime, but you're not planning on adding anything else. Some of you feel the same way about Peacock. Others of you say, if it's not on Prime, I'm not watching. So on the heels of that discussion, again, perfect timing, Caitlin Clark's home debut was on Amazon Prime. I don't know whether or not Prime gets to pick the games it wants to carry from this WNBA package. But yeah, this was a game that was carried on Prime. By the way, in a Thursday time slot that will soon belong to the NFL again. So just kind of interesting. I wonder if Clark's draw extends to Amazon Prime. My mom tried to watch, because, you know, my mom's all about watching Caitlin Clark. But right before the game tipped off, so they were actually watching the starting lineups, because Prime, I was on the bike watching it on Amazon Prime. I have a TV next to my bike that it only has the apps on it. So I've got a, what is that? Is it a Roku? Fire Stick,
Roku, same idea.
Right, so I have a Fire Stick or a Roku or something. And I was doing the same thing. Mom said they were watching the starting lineups, and then they lost power. And they weren't the only ones. There was a massive storm that went over the Houston area and parts of Texas. I know many of you have reached out to me to ask how Mom's doing, and just in general to say you've seen some of the photos. When I last checked, there were already 4 people who had died in this latest round of storms. And so thank you for asking about Mom. They lost power. when she went to bed, she said there were already a million plus people in the Houston area without power, or a million plus customers in the Houston area without power. And she said that it was a lot cooler, so they were able to open up the windows, but that they were using a lantern. They had a lantern in the house, probably battery powered, so that they were able to see. But they were without power all afternoon and evening, or all evening, I should say, and then went to bed without it. I actually didn't mention this because it happened while I was on the honeymoon. But the day we left for Hawaii, second tree in a year. My mom's husband was keeping track. Very large tree fell on their house. And this time it put holes in the roof. So they have a tarp right now covering parts of their roof from the last crazy storm that went through that knocked a really large tree. It was such an old tree. It was across the driveway and down near the front of their driveway. And yet, because it was so tall, it actually fell on top of their dining room and punched a couple holes in the roof. They did have water coming in for a bit. My mom was very relieved and thankful that they were able to move the piano out of the way so that it did not get damaged. Same thing with, they have an antique table in the dining room that belonged to my grandmother. So I know that she was really relieved about that as well. But yeah, because there's so many people that have storm damage in her area, they don't know when a contractor will be available. They've got an insurance adjuster already out. They've gotten the money, but they don't have any idea when a contractor will be available. They're waiting. They're kind of on standby, if you will. And now comes another storm. And I know that they're not in a unique position. A lot of people in the Houston area are dealing with the same, just inundated by water. And the storms are wreaking a lot of havoc and causing a lot of damage. So yes, mom and her husband are okay. They're safe. And the house was dry when they went to bed, but we were praying that the tarp on top of their roof holds, because again, they just had some major holes punched in their roof by another really large tree that dropped 2 weeks ago on top of the house. So yeah, thinking about people in the path of this storm and hoping that you all are safe. We have a big affiliate in Houston, obviously a personal ties to Houston. Been through this before with mom and the storms. Hurricane Harvey going back a few years, in which they got 53 inches of rain, if you can believe that, 53 inches of rain. And they were, their entire neighborhood was flooded. They were people using boats to navigate the neighborhood, and they were kind of trapped in their neighborhood for 4 days. This not quite the same amount of rain, but just a real destructive storm that also dropped tornadoes. So thinking of you, hope that we can keep you company. And yes, thanks again for asking about mom. On this edition of the show, couple of off the beaten path stories I want to get to, including, you may have heard this, about Novak Djokovic, who got hit in the head by a water bottle. And this is during the Italian Open, and is admitting now that it's messed with him. And then I promised you more Hawaii stories and some photos, because it's a bit of a lighter night. We can make it a hodgepodge, a smorgasbord. I did my top 10 Hawaii moments. So I've got the list, and we'll drop a few in each hour. If you miss the food photos, I don't normally take photos of food, but when you go to the Hawaiian style cafe and they give you pancakes that you can barely eat half of, oh, so good. A local favorite, a local place that if you don't get there early, there's a line out the door every day. So we actually got there a little before 8 o'clock Hawaii time last Friday. And right after we sat down, it was a mass influx of people. We got there, it was relatively empty. Within 15 minutes, every table was full. Whew, just beat the rush. And so the photo of the pancakes, as well as the photo of the shaved ice with the ice cream underneath the mountain of shaved ice. and boba. I had popping boba on mine. So the photos are up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on Facebook. Producer Jay helped me out and threw them up on Facebook. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, the Minnesota Timberwolves force a game 7 for a spot in the Western Conference Finals. It's After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Up in the front court. A stop and pop three. Oh, yeah! 14 in the opening quarter for Anthony Edwards. Timberwolves 29. Nuggets 11. It's a 27-2 run.
Unbelievable.
Here's Kyle Anderson to the corner. Here's Edwards against Jokic. Faked him out, freed himself for the three and buried it. Anthony Edwards, 3 of 5 from long range. 19 first half points. The Wolves are up by 22, their largest lead of the game. Nas off to Kyle Anderson. He'll run it up down the lane off glass. Too strong. Tip follow that wooden drop for Cat. Cat's battling on the boards. He's got it. Put back. Yes, with the left hand. 5 to play in the first half. 13-0 Timberwolves run. They're doubling up the defending champs. 48-24 here in the first half of game 6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Alan Horton, one of my Syracuse classmates. Timberwolves radio, and would you believe that the Denver Nuggets had an early lead in this one? It's actually kind of funny to think about now, and after the game, once Nikola Jokic admitted they got their asses kicked, he reminded people that they were up 7 in the first quarter. And again, he was being snarky, kind of sarcastic about the whole thing. They did initially grab the lead because of an opening spurt, and they were able to quiet the crowd a tad. But once the Timberwolves got moving, once they kicked it into high gear, the Nuggets could match them in no way. Not with intensity, not with sense of urgency, not with the rebounding, not with the physicality, not taking care of the basketball, not defending, not scoring. This is one game that I think, credit to the Minnesota Timberwolves, they came out ready to play. But I think it's great evidence for why sometimes the playoffs just get too freaking long. This is a playoff game for a spot in the Western Conference Finals. These are two of the top seeds in the West, and the Nuggets got bludgeoned by 45? And it's not as though it doesn't happen during the regular season, but the way people dismiss it during the regular season is, it doesn't matter. It's not the playoffs. I'll pay attention or it'll count when we get to the postseason. Oh, okay. Oh, it happens too often. Remember last year when the Suns was it game 6 they were hosting on their own court? And they also got humiliated. This kind of stuff's embarrassing for the NBA. Although, let's be fair, if anyone needs to be embarrassed, it's the Nuggets locker room. Oy. Credit the Timberwolves. They had lost 3 in a row. They were on the verge of elimination. But they take charge in this one, shooting nearly 47% from the floor and only turning the ball over 6 times.
We talked a lot today just about getting our edge back, our swagger, playing a little more free and easy. We felt like we hadn't had our best effort on both sides of the ball yet in this series. I thought we left kind of a lot of meat on the bones offensively the other day. Guys did a good job of reacting to that. We always knew it was going to be a long series coming in. This proven to be the case. To win it, you got to get 4. I didn't say how you got to get them. So should be fun on Sunday.
Guys just believing in themselves. I think the last 3 games, we was all down on ourselves, like just trying to point the finger, blame somebody. And then I think today, before the game, the coaches, the whole staff, like they did a great job of putting a clip together as far as like the plays that we made the two games that we won against these guys, and everybody like started to believe after that little edit that they put together, and I can tell the energy shifted after that little edit. So that was big time. I told them that was big time putting the edit together.
We've lost our identity the last three games, and with our backs against the wall and with everything on the line, we found ourselves finding our identity. So it's a great day for us. It was a great day of work. But it's going to take consistency and discipline and execution if we expect to win this best of seven series, and with game seven being next.
Chris Finch kind of giving credit to the work they were doing in the last game and how that helped them to break through. Anthony Edwards using the C word, confidence. The fact that we watched this, I wouldn't call it a hype video, but it was a video put together by the staff showing their success and showing what it looks like when the Wolves were winning those first two games against the Nuggets and taking that 2-0 lead, kind of as a reminder that they certainly can do it again in game number six. And then Karl-Anthony Towns admitting, we lost our identity. We got away from who we are. The first quarter, once Anthony Edwards got cooking, he got to 14 points while the entire Nuggets team was sitting on 14 points. It was so lopsided. But yeah, now we're heading into a game seven, and we should know the seesaw could drop the other direction and we could see Denver on top.
They're the defending champs. So it's going to be super tough. They're home. They're at the crib. Their fans is crazy. It's going to be super loud. But, I mean, I feel like as a competitor, it's like one of the best feelings in the world. I've never played a game seven on the road, but all my playoff experiences on the road has been, like, super fun because nobody's on your side. So I can just imagine how this game will be and, like, the fans. So I'm super pumped for it. Like, I'm super happy. I'm ready to play it.
They hit us first, they hit us second, they hit us third. And so you give them credit. They did what they needed to do to keep this series alive and to bring it back to Denver for a game seven. Disappointing loss anytime you get down by 50 in a playoff game. You know, that's never an enjoyable experience. But, you know, we have to go home and get back to playing the way we did where we won three games in a row. And I have no doubt that we'll be ready to do that come Sunday.
I still say the Nuggets have the edge because they know what it takes to win a championship. And obviously, they took themselves, their starters, out of the game. When the Wolves lead by as many as 50, there's nothing that you can do. This is one of the largest blowouts or one of the most sizable blowouts in Timberwolves franchise history. Forget what it says about the playoffs for the Nuggets. Only 70 points. They were embarrassed. And so they, at one point, waved the white flag. Lived to fight another day, so to speak. But I appreciate that the MVP is saying, hey, we shouldn't just flush it and forget it. Nah, it mattered.
I think we need to sink in. Like, it's a great loss. They beat us, they destroy us, and we should learn it. And you need to give them respect. You know, they came out, and actually we had it, like 9-2 score, right? For fun. Didn't look good for them in that period, you know.
Oh no.
But since then, it was a one team show. So I'm gonna take this as a great loss.
Definitely is. Jamal Murray says they need to own it in order to make sure it doesn't happen again. They got to own it. They got to watch it. They got to see it. They got to stew in it. They got to be embarrassed by it. But I can't imagine the confidence is any higher for the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's the pinnacle for them. Here they are on the cusp of the Western Conference Finals, and they're back in a position of strength against the Nuggets. Too bad you can't save some of those points for Sunday night. So we'll have a game seven on Sunday night. Already up on both Twitter and Facebook. And this is something I came up with earlier and I've asked producer Jay to use it as our show question tonight. Better phrase in sports than game seven. Go. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our show Twitter, and then our Facebook page as well, looking for Chris Pratt, you are. Better phrase in sports than game seven. One of our colleagues weighed in. I won't tell you what he said, though, because I don't want to impact your answers. Again, we're sprinkling in a lot of different topics on this edition of the show. Ohtani bobblehead night. Apparently, it caused a major traffic jam in L.A. Caitlin Clark's home debut, only on Amazon Prime. Rory McIlroy, right in the mix at the PGA Championship, though he's losing confidence once again in the PGA. The Rangers are into the Eastern Conference Finals as the President's Trophy winners. That's fairly rare over the last few decades. Doesn't happen very often that the President's Trophy winners actually capitalize. But we're asking you, better phrase in sports than game seven. What is it? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
Yeah.
I like that he's so happy.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
That's a sneak peek of what we're going to get Sunday, right? So I think everybody's being locked in and just owning the negativity, man. Like, we played terrible. I played terrible. I'll own it. And let's use that to you know, come out in front of our home fans and play the right way. So we're going to learn from that film for sure and be better.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Jamal Murray. There isn't anything much that the Nuggets can take away positive from game number six. They got their rear ends handed to them in embarrassing fashion. And this is after the Wolves spot them a 7-point lead. 45? Are you kidding me? And there were times when Anthony Edwards is driving to the hoop and it looks like it's the NBA All-Star game where the Nuggets just step aside on defense. Slide on it. Slide and glide, Anthony Edwards. By the way, he's okay after his fall. He kind of got undercut and landed hard on his back in the third quarter, but didn't miss.
I hit my head, I think, on the rim.
Nah. That was a different collision, that one with the rim. He didn't miss a beat. 27 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, lots of confidence. Now, the thing is, the Nuggets, they know how to respond same as the Wolves. So the Wolves are going into just their second Game 7 in franchise history. First one on the road, as Ant pointed out, for himself personally. But the Nuggets have been there, done that, and Jamal seems nonplussed.
No pressure, man. We're just, it comes down to one game and who's going to play better that day.
All right. Better phrase in sports than Game 7. Some of you are weighing in on Twitter. At Amy After Hours is our show account. You can find me at A-Law Radio. Photos of food from Hawaii. I got the question about malasadas. Warm malasadas. The answer is yes. Those were my husband's favorite. We had them on two islands. Oahu and the Big Island. Malasadas to die for. As well as the shaved ice, as well as the Hawaiian-style pancakes. We didn't even end up eating loka moko. We had local Hawaiian barbecue. A common kind of fast food stop is L&L Hawaiian barbecue, if you know what that is. And it was delicious. We ate there a couple of times. We were able to mix it in with some greens. We bought some salad from the grocery store, so we weren't constantly eating food that wasn't as good for us. But it's funny because I joke about the fact that we ran out of money, so we had to come home. In truth, there's another reason we had to come home, because we were going to get really fat if we stayed in Hawaii. And this is with all the hiking, but man, the food is heavy. It's not real light food. There is plenty of fruit, so we did have a bunch of fruit, but a lot of the rest of the food is not what I would say I eat on a daily basis. So yeah, Hubs and I are both on diets, quote unquote, if you will. Actually, it's a contest. First one to drop 10 pounds. Except that I think it should be first one to drop 10 pounds and keep the 10 pounds off for at least a couple of months. Because if you're just dropping the 10 pounds to win the contest, it's water weight or you're fasting or something along those lines. It's kind of cheating. So,
not
yes.
The point, right?
Right. That's not really the point. The idea is for us to both get back to where we were at the wedding. When we got married, we were each 10 pounds lighter. Well, not exactly 10 pounds. We were about 5-6 pounds lighter. And we decided that we would enjoy the first few months of marriage up through the honeymoon and we wouldn't worry about desserts and that kind of stuff. Well, do you know what Friday is? Our 5-month anniversary. It's time. It's time to pay.
You got to splurge on that, right?
No. we're officially on a diet. We're happy about getting healthier and eating healthier. It's fun to do together. Actually, it's a lot easier when you're doing it together. So yeah, we're no celebrating. That's not happening on
Friday. No desserts, not even one?
Nope, no desserts. We'll celebrate on our 6-month anniversary.
All right.
We have cupcakes left over from the wedding, actually. We have two each for the quarter polls as we head toward year anniversary. So we're asking you about the best phrase in sports. If it's better than game 7, I need to know what it is on Twitter and Facebook and our phone number 855-212-4227. I promised you Hawaii stories, Hawaii moments during this show. And I know it's been hard to get right back to work. And I want to tell you the stories, but I have to sprinkle them in because it's such a busy time now in mid-May. But a few things that I loved about the Big Island and that I would highly recommend. And I'll kind of do these counting backwards because I did make a list. There's a place on the Big Island called the Place of Refuge. And it's got an incredible story, Hawaiian culture going back a couple hundred years was about kings and queens and gods and some pretty strict traditions. And if you failed to follow those traditions, in essence, if you broke the laws and angered the gods, the penalty was death. As in, period, you got put to death. Now, this goes back to the 16 and 1700s before Hawaii was a member of the United States. But they had some, not just some superstitions, but they have some gods that they were worried about angering. And they would make human sacrifices in their culture going back a couple hundred years. So Place of Refuge is actually a national landmark now, but it was the place where, one of the places in the Hawaiian Islands, where if you could get there with the law coming after you and whatever, you know, tribal leaders or tribal enforcers they sent after you, if you broke some of the laws and angered the gods, if you could reach the Place of Refuge, you would be pardoned. And the story itself is one part of it, but the area is absolutely gorgeous. It's quiet, it's peaceful, it's on the shore, and there's this grove of palm trees that kind of line the shore. It's not a beach area, it's lava rock, but the water's gorgeous. The blues of Hawaii in the water, they're captivating. The aquamarine, the dark blue over the sandbar, just beautiful. And these palm trees that are built in this grove on the shore where people would presumably swim, boat, do everything they could to get there. Once they got on the shore at this Place of Refuge, which does have a long Hawaiian name, once they got there, it was quiet, it was peaceful, there had to be some kind of relief. And as we were standing there, we took a few photos there as we walked along the shore. The wind was blowing through this grove of palm trees, and it was so quiet and really refreshing. We enjoyed being there. We hung out there for about a half hour. So we loved the story of Place of Refuge. It was very peaceful, despite the reasons behind needing it. So I highly recommend that, the Place of Refuge. The Greenwell Coffee Farm, we took a tour. It's fascinating to learn about the process of making coffee. It's nonstop there because of the Big Island climate zones, and not only the rain, you're constantly pruning, you're constantly cutting back brush that's growing. In fact, our tour guide, who is awesome, he's a native Hawaiian, his grandparents still farm coffee, and you know it's a family tradition going back generations. He said if you aren't growing something in Hawaii or in Kona, which is where we were, if you aren't growing something in Kona, something's growing anyway, right? You're either growing something or it's growing on its own. And so you really have to nonstop keep up with the land and the constant rain and vegetation that threatens to take over your crops. Also, we learned and saw pineapples in various stages of their growth. Pretty incredible. Baby little baby pineapples. And so I'll have photos of those too, which are awesome. So we were able to not only sample coffee, which I think my husband sampled pretty much every single one they had available, but we actually purchased coffee beans and ground coffee from Greenwell Farms that were grown right there on the Kona coffee coast. And then Mauna Kea, amazing to be up nearly 14,000 feet at the summit of Mauna Kea, where the temps were in the 20s with the wind chills. 40% less oxygen at that elevation. Also, I loved off-roading it. We had to drive about 6 miles up the face of the mountain. We had a 4x4. My husband's afraid of heights, so I got to drive. Oh, I felt like a badass. It was amazing. So yeah, I highly recommend the Mauna Kea Summit as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the Infinity Sports Network. I like that he's so happy.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That's a sneak peek of what we're going to get Sunday, right? So I think everybody's being locked in and just owning the negativity, man. Like we played terrible. I played terrible. I'll own it. And let's use that to you know come out in front of our home fans and play the right way. So we're gonna learn from that film for sure and be better.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence,
the voice of Jamal Murray. There isn't anything much that the Nuggets can take away positive from game number 6. They got their rear ends handed to them in embarrassing fashion. And this is after the Wolves spot them a 7-point lead. 45? Are you kidding me? And there were times when Anthony Edwards is driving to the hoop and it looks like it's the NBA All-Star game where the Nuggets just step aside on defense. Slide on it. Slide and glide, Anthony Edwards. By the way, he's okay after his fall. He kind of got undercut and landed hard on his back in the third quarter, but didn't miss.
I hit my head, I think, on a rim.
Nah. That was a different collision, that one with the rim. He didn't miss a beat. 27 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, lots of confidence. Now, the thing is, the Nuggets, they know how to respond same as the Wolves. So the Wolves are going into just their second Game 7 in franchise history. First one on the road, as Ant pointed out, for himself personally. But the Nuggets have been there, done that, and Jamal seems nonplussed.
No pressure, man. We're just, it comes down to one game and who's going to play better that day.
All right. Better phrase in sports than game 7. Some of you are weighing in on Twitter. At Amy After Hours is our show account. You can find me at A-Law Radio. Photos of food from Hawaii. I got the question about malasadas. Warm malasadas. The answer is yes. Those were my husband's favorite. We had them on 2 islands, Oahu and the Big Island. Malasadas to die for, as well as the shaved ice, as well as the Hawaiian style pancakes. We didn't even end up eating loka moka. We had local Hawaiian barbecue. A common kind of fast food stop is L&L Hawaiian Barbecue, if you know what that is. And it was delicious. We ate there a couple of times. We were able to mix it in with some greens. We bought some salad from the grocery store, so we weren't constantly eating food that wasn't as good for us. But it's funny because I joke about the fact that we ran out of money, so we had to come home. In truth, there's another reason we had to come home, because we were going to get really fat if we stayed in Hawaii. And this is with all the hiking, but man, the food is heavy. It's not real light food. There is plenty of fruit, so we did have a bunch of fruit, but a lot of the rest of the food is not what I would say I eat on a daily basis. So yeah, Hubs and I are both on diets, quote unquote, if you will. Actually, it's a contest. First one to drop 10 pounds. Except that I think it should be first one to drop 10 pounds and keep the 10 pounds off for at least a couple of months. Because if you're just dropping the 10 pounds to win the contest, it's water weight or you're fasting or something along those lines. It's kind of cheating. So
not
yes,
the point, right?
Right. That's not really the point. The idea is for us to both get back to where we were at the wedding. When we got married, we were each 10 pounds lighter. Well, not exactly 10 pounds. We were about 5-6 pounds lighter. And we decided that we would enjoy the first few months of marriage up through the honeymoon, and we wouldn't worry about desserts and that kind of stuff. Well, do you know what Friday is? Our 5-month anniversary. It's time. It's time
gotta
to pay.
You got
to
splurge on that, right?
No. we're officially on a diet. We're happy about getting healthier and eating healthier. And it's fun to do together. Actually, it's a lot easier when you're doing it together. So yeah, we're no celebrating. That's not happening
no
on
desserts,
Friday.
No desserts, not even one?
Nope, no desserts. We'll celebrate on our 6-month anniversary.
All right.
We have cupcakes left over from the wedding, actually. We have two each for the quarter polls as we head toward year anniversary. So we're asking you about the best phrase in sports. If it's better than Game 7, I need to know what it is on Twitter and Facebook, and our phone number, 855-212-4227. I promised you Hawaii stories, Hawaii moments during this show, and I know it's been hard to get right back to work, and I want to tell you the stories, but I have to sprinkle them in because it's such a busy time now in mid-May. But a few things that I loved about the Big Island and that I would highly recommend, and I'll kind of do these counting backwards because I did make a list. There's a place on the Big Island called the Place of Refuge, and it's got an incredible story, Hawaiian culture going back a couple hundred years was about kings and queens and gods and some pretty strict traditions. And if you failed to follow those traditions, in essence, if you broke the laws and angered the gods, the penalty was death. As in, period, you got put to death. Now, this goes back to the 16 and 1700s before Hawaii was a member of the United States. But they had some, not just some superstitions, but they have some gods that they were worried about angering. And they would make human sacrifices in their culture going back a couple hundred years. So Place of Refuge is actually a national landmark now, but it was the place where, one of the places in the Hawaiian Islands where if you could get there with the law coming after you and whatever, you know, tribal leaders or tribal enforcers they sent after you, if you broke some of the laws and angered the gods, if you could reach the Place of Refuge, you would be pardoned. And the story itself is one part of it, but the area is absolutely gorgeous. It's quiet, it's peaceful, it's on the shore, and there's this grove of palm trees that kind of line the shore. It's not a beach area, it's lava rock, but the water's gorgeous. The blues of Hawaii in the water, they're captivating. The aquamarine, the dark blue over the sandbar, just beautiful. And these palm trees that are built in this grove on the shore where people would presumably swim, boat, do everything they could to get there. Once they got on the shore at this Place of Refuge, which does have a long Hawaiian name, once they got there, it was quiet, it was peaceful, there had to be some kind of relief. And as we were standing there, we took a few photos there as we walked along the shore. The wind was blowing through this grove of palm trees, and it was so quiet and really refreshing. We enjoyed being there. We hung out there for about a half hour. So we loved the story of Place of Refuge. It was very peaceful, despite the reasons behind needing it. So I highly recommend that, the place of refuge. The Greenwell Coffee Farm, we took a tour. It's fascinating to learn about the process of making coffee. It's nonstop there because of the Big Island climate zones, and not only the rain, you're constantly pruning, you're constantly cutting back brush that's growing. In fact, our tour guide, who was awesome, he's a native Hawaiian, his grandparents still farm coffee, and you know it's a family tradition going back generations. He said if you aren't growing something in Hawaii or in Kona, which is where we were, if you aren't growing something in Kona, something's growing anyway, right? You're either growing something or it's growing on its own. And so you really have to nonstop keep up with the land and the constant rain and vegetation that threatens to take over your crops. Also, we learned and saw pineapples in various stages of their growth. Pretty incredible. Baby, little baby pineapples. And so I'll have photos of those too, which are awesome. So we were able to not only sample coffee, which I think my husband sampled pretty much every single one they had available, but we actually purchased coffee beans and ground coffee from Greenwell Farms that were grown right there on the Kona Coffee Coast. And then Mauna Kea, amazing to be up nearly 14,000 feet at the summit of Mauna Kea, where the temps were in the 20s with the wind chills. 40% less oxygen at that elevation. Also, I loved off-roading it. We had to drive about 6 miles up the face of the mountain. We had a 4x4. My husband's afraid of heights, so I got to drive. Oh, I felt like a badass. It was amazing. So yeah, I highly recommend the Mauna Kea Summit as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the Infinity Sports Network.